We're just a few hours away from football in New Orleans as the Jags are taking on the Saints in Caesars Superdome. We're getting you ready for all that and so much more here on NFL Live as we welcome you to the show. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to tell you why Trey Lance should absolutely start week one for the 49ers. This game, Monday Night Football, right here on ESPN, as I said, in just a few hours. Adam Schefter will be here for that and Monday Night Countdown starting at 7. Mina Kimes is here for the next hour, as well as Adam and Dan Orlovsky. And let's get right to it, guys, because there's a lot to get to today. Also, really glad to have everyone back.
I was just going
to
say, we're going to brush over that.
Well, I didn't want to talk about you being back, but I was really talking about Mina and Adam. All right, let's get to the big news. We're going to have a live report in moments about the Saints. But, Adam, some news around the league, beginning with Cam Newton. What can you tell us?
He is basically going to be gone from the Page facility for 5 days because of a discrepancy in the COVID-19 testing procedures. Now, the Patriots said through a statement that it was a misunderstanding. It had to do with certain tests and where they were and weren't done. Look, here's the bottom line. He's out this week, and more work and more reps for the rookie first-round draft pick, Mac Jones. Meanwhile, in Indianapolis, Carson Wentz was back at practice on a limited basis. But just start to do the math here. We're, what, 2+ weeks out from the opener. He's getting back. That is in line with what they have been thinking and saying, which is that he's trending towards playing opening week against Seattle, but there's still work to do and still progress to be made. But the fact that he's back, that's an encouraging sign.
Yeah, got to be encouraging for them, as well as Quentin Nelson being back, too. Let's get back to the game tonight, which, as I mentioned, just a few hours away. It all goes down in Caesars Superdome as you're looking at New Orleans, the French Quarter. Hey, what a great spot to be in general. An even greater spot if you've got football on the way, Monday Night Football tonight. Lisa Salter's on the broadcast tonight for us, and she's got all the latest on the quarterback situation. For the first time in 15 years, Lisa, Sean Payton is going to make a decision about who his starting quarterback is, but Jameis Winston in line to start tonight. And what about Taysom Hill? Tell us the latest from New Orleans.
Yeah, Laura, well, we talked to Sean Payton yesterday, and he kind of laughed and admitted that the decision has not been made yet. He said he had hoped to be further along in the decision-making process at this point, but he said the competition between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill is just that close. Payton said that he does have a feel for what the game plan might look like if he names Winston the starter, and a different feel for what he'd do if Hill is the starter. And both of those plans, he said, are different than what he did with Drew Brees. But while the QB's decision remains unsettled, Payton said there's absolutely no divide in the locker room. He said both quarterbacks have been fantastic throughout this competition, that the team is responding well to both guys, and there is so much respect in the locker room for both of those guys. And Laura, we will not see Alvin Kamara in the game tonight, but that has not stopped me from digging into some Kamara's King Crunch for breakfast the last couple of days. I can bring some back for you if you'd like. I can tell you that my receiving skills out of the backfield have improved immensely overnight.
I was about to say, you're already so versatile as a weapon, Lisa, but now you add this into the mix. You can't be stopped. Are they good? They taste good?
Honey oats and flakes. I mean, how good can that really be? I'm really kind of a Fruit Loops. I'm a Fruit Loops gal.
I love it. Lisa Salter's on the call tonight. The game right here on ESPN at 8 p.m. Eastern, and Monday Night Countdown begins at 7. Adam, what are you hearing about the Saints quarterback competition?
Jameis Winston has a chance to take a step towards securing that job tonight. We'll see how he plays. You heard Lisa Salter say Sean Payton hasn't made a decision yet. Again, 2.5 weeks to the opener, hasn't decided yet. Adds a little spice and drama to tonight's game.
Yeah, right? I mean, Mina, right before the show, we were saying we're so excited to actually see what happens tonight. A lot of that revolving around the quarterbacks, but what do you need to see from Jameis Winston that maybe could give him another step forward?
I mean, I'm going to be watching every down, because this is an actual competition. Unlike the other team they're playing tonight, whose coach is also pretending it's a quarterback competition. We'll talk about Trevor Lawrence later. This is an actual battle. And Laura, to your question, from Jameis, I need to see decision-making. Obviously, that's been the issue that's plagued him for years now. And it's something I thought he demonstrated and actually had an edge on in the first game. Both quarterbacks threw interceptions. Both weren't entirely their faults, but I thought Jameis's was less his fault, if that makes sense. I also want to see how he looks playing with the ones. Taysom started the last game. So this time, Jameis has the benefit of playing with some of their weapons. Kamara's out. but there'll be some starters on the offensive line. Marquez Callaway has really emerged as the number one wide receiver in Michael Thomas's absence. I want to see if that connection is there, particularly if there's a deep ball connection there, because that is the advantage Jameis brings, not, you know, with his legs. Of course, that one goes to Taysom. And you know, I want to see, can he protect the football, but can he also not protect it too much?
Right.
Because if they're going to go with Jameis, it's because of the explosive element he brings to the table, and I don't want to see him cautious to the point where he's not airing it downfield at all, Dan.
Yeah, I'm more of a crackling oat brand person myself for clarity reasons.
You've been waiting a long time to say that, Dan.
Yeah, ever since Lisa gave that report. I think I want to see Jameis Winston from the second quarter of last week, because tonight for me is more about what Jameis can't do than what Taysom can do. Hmm. You talked about protecting it too much. I would say that last week starting, he played too cautious. Like, he can't play cautious with the football. He can't play slow. He can't play doubtful. He's got to play with, like, conviction and confidence and aggression. And that's what we saw in that two-minute drill that culminated in this touchdown pass. And I want to see that more out of him, because the really good offenses, or at least what I think is going to be a really good offense in the NFL, is the offense that can do whatever they want in the pass game. And that's what Jameis brings to the Saints. But then sprinkle in 11-on-11 in the run game. And that's what Taysom Hill brings to the Saints. So, to your point, I love the efficiency thought process of him, but I also don't want him to take away the stinger, you know, his aggression with the football.
Yeah, and I'll say one other thing. I mentioned I want to see him playing with the ones. I also want to see him playing against the ones, because some of those turnovers in the past have stemmed from pressure, and Taysom had to endure his fair share of pressure when he was playing with the Saints starters last week. Jameis is going to face this challenge against the Jaguars. I don't believe Josh Allen is playing. I think he's out, but nevertheless, it's going to be a higher level of competition when the pocket is muddy. Is he going to make bad decisions? That's what Sean Payton's going to be looking for tonight.
And I will say this also. I know it's not the big quarterback storyline, but there's another quarterback story and decision that they have to make in New Orleans. That's the backup quarterback, because they also have Ian Book on their roster. They like him, Trevor Siemian. So they want to take a look at those guys to determine who's going to be the number three behind Jameis and Taysom Hill.
Yeah, Ian Book did some nice things at Notre Dame for the Notre Dame fans out there watching NFL Live.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
NFL Live is brought to you by Duracell Optimum and by Heineken. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Patriots quarterback Cam Newton is out 5 days due to COVID protocols. The Patriots said, quote, due to a misunderstanding about tests conducted away from NFL facilities and as required by the NFL-NFLPA protocols, Cam will be subject to the 5-day entry cadence process before returning to the facility. Let's get into this a little bit more. Adam Schefter, what kind of opportunity is this for Mac Jones now?
Well, look, we've taken one quarterback out of Patriots camp, so just do it logically. Cam's not there all week long.
Right.
That means that the first team reps, you would figure, are going to Mac Jones and to continue to try to get him ready for the regular season. Now, they have said all along that they expect Cam Newton to be the opening day starter, and Bill Belichick has not wavered off that. But Mac Jones has been impressive this summer. Everyone on the team has been impressed with him, and now he's got 5 more days to continue to try to make a mark. And that has to be worth something with the season just over 2 weeks away.
Yeah, and when opportunity knocks open the door, and that's what Mac Jones has the opportunity to do. Like, this, What happens in living in a hypothetical world that Mac goes out and takes over this football team offensively? He's been really good this offseason, but the Patriots have never seen him multiple days in a row take all the snaps with the ones. They're going to see it now. So what happens if they're just watching Mac going white? Our offense looks better play after play, day after day, with Mac Jones as the starting quarterback. We're more efficient. We're more explosive. Then there's the opportunity to go, maybe we're a better offense. Not that Cam wasn't doing well, because Cam never opened the door. His play was just too good. But this now does for Mac Jones. And it's also a reality that Cam's going to go 5 days without doing anything. Their last preseason game is this weekend. They have built-in days that are going to be days off after their preseason game. We're now looking at maybe a 10-day stretch where Cam's only going to do 2 or 3 days of stuff, where Mac is going to be there every single day. And he, I promise you, everything we've heard about Mac Jones, he's walking into the building going, it's my team right now, whether everyone agrees with that or not. So I think this is a massive opportunity. And sometimes they don't show themselves like this in the NFL. And that's all this is a massive opportunity. And Mac Jones just seems like the kind of guy that will take advantage of it.
Yeah, so for anyone who's confused, like Cam is going to be available for the game.
Right.
But this competition is the closest. Yeah. I agree. Maybe. I mean, Jameis and Taysom are pretty close as well. But of the rookies and the entrenched starters, they're neck and neck. If you just took last week's tape and watched it in a vacuum and didn't, you know, ignore the context of Cam Newton's experience in the NFL, I would say I wouldn't know how to choose between these two players. They both look really good. And because it's so close, it could come down to something as just one day of excellent play. And I want to say this. It sounds like Cam made a mistake with the testing, and it's not his fault. But moving forward, this isn't going to be the last time something like this happens in the NFL. And if a player is unvaccinated, again, we don't know Cam Newton's status, and they're unavailable for a game, like this could happen during the regular season.
Right.
It could actually cause them not just to miss practice, but miss a game. And in the NFL, the best ability is availability. And in this moment, Cam Newton is not available.
We always are wondering about injuries and how they'll impact the roster. So now you worry about injuries and COVID.
Mm. And all the protocols
together.
Right?
And all the protocols. Yeah. It's a part of the season. Yeah. Just the way it is.
Right. We'll continue to follow that. You know, to your point, Dan, about the preparation of Mac Jones, meticulously prepared at Alabama, even when he wasn't starting, stayed in a quarterback room that was highly competitive, didn't care because of that small, minute chance that he might get an opportunity to play. Now, to the points we're making here, it's right there on a silver platter. Let's go to Indy, where Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson were back at practice today. Colts Twitter said, "It's Monday, but it feels like Wednesday." I kind of like that. You see him video right there of him running around well on the foot that he got surgery on just 3 weeks ago. Frank Reich and Carson Wentz spoke about his return. Listen to it in their own words.
When I first saw him popping around out there, I thought, ooh, that looks pretty good. You know, and I'd seen a little of it indoors, but just seeing out here on the grass and kind of at the speed he was moving, I thought he looked good. And the big question now is, how does it respond? You know, how does it respond?
Are you pretty confident you'll be ready for week one, or where are you on that?
I'm optimistic, but we'll see. We'll see. Honestly, it's not fully my call, kind of like I was just saying. It's going to come down to the doctors and surgeons and trainers and seeing how we feel. And a lot will depend on how I respond and how the foot feels day after day after being out here.
It feels like tomorrow is more the important thing, Dan, than
he
even today. I know. I knew what you were going to say, so that's why I'm going to switch you a little bit, though. Just watching him out there, knowing that he had surgery as recently as he did, how good does he look?
Yeah, he looked incredible for a guy that had surgery 3 weeks ago. That's not me saying that because of my issue about Carson Wentz either. I just think he looked very active. I mean, very sudden. Sometimes rest like this is great for guys as well. So he's had the opportunity to peel back for a long off season. But I do think the point of tomorrow is huge. I really do. I mean, we all have talked about, well, when is he going to be back? When's the likelihood that he'll be able to play? Tomorrow goes a long way in determining that. Like, I think if Carson Wentz walks in tomorrow and we see practice clips tomorrow
like that,
of what it looks like today, then he's going to play week one. And the same with Quentin Nelson. You know, then I feel confident pounding the table that he's going to play week one. So tomorrow's a huge day. But for them to get back this quickly and look that kind of spry is the word I would use.
What good word,
is
Dan.
Impressive. I don't even know what it means.
Well, I hope you do, because that was an accurate description. Remember, we've got football right here on ESPN tonight, Monday Night Football with the Saints and the Jags in New Orleans. Monday Night Countdown coming your way at 7 p.m. We'll continue to talk that and so much more here on NFL Live.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Justin Fields didn't look quite as stellar in his second preseason outing this weekend, posting a significantly lower passer rating compared to his debut against the Dolphins, but he was also under a lot of duress against the Bills. Here's Matt Nagy with more.
When you go back and you look at what Andy is doing in these last two preseason games, I understand the part of, you know, we haven't been getting first downs with the, and there's been three and outs in that. I get that, but Andy's decision making has been really good. He's made some plays that maybe couldn't have or shouldn't have been able to make, and he has. But we like what he's doing right now with the ones in practice, and I think that's what probably makes us feel good. But we also like where Justin's at and seeing him grow, and so that's what we got to kind of talk through here these next couple weeks.
Oh man, Adam, how do you see this playing out based on things that you know?
Well, first of all, he has said all along that Andy Dalton is the starter, but he said there, the last thing he said was we have to talk through this the next 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what was that?
Yeah. I don't know. He's hedging his bets right
there. Through the last 2 weeks.
That's not what he's been saying all offseason.
That was the first time I heard that clip, and that my first thing that said, that was a little different than what we've heard, right?
Out to me, too. To me, that feels a little bit like, and Dan, tell me what you think here, hey, I'm giving myself an out in case I actually want to start Fields, and should he?
He should start Justin Fields, but I also think he sees what everybody else sees. He's like, this guy gives us the best chance to win because he's a special talent. Yeah. The way I kind of phrased it is Matt Nagy has to start Justin Fields. He's got to save his job. Very rarely do head coaches get two young quarterbacks. Same with general manager Ryan Pace, to get two young quarterbacks. The Chicago Bears ownership can't let Justin play because that offensive line is that bad. Oof. And I think there's two reasons why young quarterbacks shouldn't play in the NFL. They don't have a skill or trait that's going to allow them to survive, or everybody around him is so bad. And I'm sitting there watching this game at home getting angry about it because when you as a coach put a young quarterback on the field, your number one job is to make sure it's either you guys up front control it. I don't care what the quarterback says. Your job is to control the protection. Quarterback, listen to them. Or equip the quarterback. You run the line of scrimmage. You figure it all out and make sure everybody's on the same page. But when I show that clip and nobody is talking, I'm sitting there going, well, the second reason you shouldn't play a rookie quarterback is because everybody around him is not good enough.
Right.
And there is a legit chance you ruin him. And that's the reason why I say the Bears organization can't play him. At the end of the day, they need a creator at quarterback, not a distributor, and Justin Fields has the creative ability.
Yeah, the only case for not starting him is the idea that you can't protect him. What you saw there, is that going to happen over and over and over? Oh, we don't want to feed him to Aaron Donald in week one. But guess who you got in week three? Mm-hmm. Miles Garrett. Week six, Za'Darius Smith.
Good.
You got, goodness, it gets worse and worse and worse. I think you got the Steelers after that.
Yes,
it's a difficult schedule. And at some point, you're going to start him. And at some point, he's going to play a difficult pass rush. And I'll say this. People always bring up the David Carr example. Oh, David Carr was ruined because he played behind a terrible offensive line. It's not 2003 anymore. Offenses have the ability to not only scheme better protection for your quarterback, they also have quarterbacks who can elude pressure. Look at Justin Fields.
Thank you.
He can survive. It's not going to be pretty. There's going to be more plays like that where they blow the protection due to whether it's a lack of communication or simply a bad offensive line. But this kid has the athleticism, the mental tools. We saw that at Ohio State to survive it. And he's going to get better, and he's going to, you know, need those reps, frankly, and he gives them the best chance of winning.
See, this is the issue. And this is what they're facing in New England and Chicago and San Francisco. Everybody wants the young guys to play until then they get out there and they struggle because they're not as experienced. And you say, well, what do you want to do? Now you want to pull that guy and go back to the veteran who would be a steadier choice? And they sign Andy Dalton to a starting quarterback contract money with the idea that they really liked him, with the idea that they wouldn't be able to get somebody like Justin Fields in the draft, but they were very fortunate. And we all know that Justin Fields' turn is coming.
Right.
But what's the problem with Andy Dalton starting the season and playing until they feel even more comfortable about the offensive line and Justin Fields getting a little bit more experience? What's the problem? What's the rush?
My pushback is context matters with the situation. New England is a completely different continuity and security for those people running and making those decisions than Chicago. Because, Shefty, I would say this. Well, what happens if they start Andy Dalton and they go 0-2 and Green Bay's 2-0? Well, then we're four games back in the division. Hey, Justin, not only do you have to figure out how to play quarterback in the NFL, and not only does your offensive line stink, get us out of this 0-4 hole.
No,
because
no.
Yes, because Matt Nagy.
You have to look long picture. Okay, he's trying
he
to.
He can't, though.
But, but in a way, he has to. He has to know that we've got a quarterback we're going to build around, and I have faith that management and ownership is going to stand. But maybe I'm being naive.
You've been around the NFL long enough, though.
Yeah, I understand. But you know what? That's been a patient organization, by and large.
Fair.
And so they've got a young quarterback, and they hire Matt Nagy because they believe in the work that he does with young quarterbacks. So they know that he can work with him through time. It doesn't have to be, boy, we got to go win the division this year or you're fired. You're out on the street.
Well, and Nagy himself has said, I'm not doing these decisions to save my job. I'm doing whatever he thinks is going to be best for Justin Fields. Quickly, how can play action help Fields, though? More play action in this offense.
Buys time with a very bad offensive line. I mean, this Bears offensive line, we've all seen it. There's issues. Obviously, Tevin Jenkins, who they traded up for, is going to be out for several weeks. There's issues at right tackle. The entire season. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. They inexplicably cut Charles Leno before the season as well. But with play action, which is, of course, something used a lot of in college as well, that slight moment of delay in which the defense is assuming that they're going to run the ball, it buys Justin a little bit of time. It's a system that he's comfortable in, and it's something they should use more often.
Yeah, let me
Tevin Jenkins, at least November. Yeah. Maybe
okay.
The season.
Yeah. I was surprised by how many straight dropbacks he got in week two.
Let me throw two things quickly in at the end. Play action, quick game. Yeah. Change the launch point, movement, bootleg, run game, RPOs. And to the Aaron Donald week one thing, you know what I would want to do as a coach? I want to put Aaron Donald in conflict. You know how I put him in conflict? Zone read and quarterback run.
You know what was funny about that? You said two things, and then you actually listed off seven and even counted them yourself on your hands.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
The 49ers have gotten a long look at Trey Lance this preseason. Let's talk about them. He's played 14 drives, but his last impression was a good one. On his first 11 drives, Lance completed 6 of 19 passes with a touchdown and interception. Didn't look so good. But then on his final 3 drives last night, he was 7 of 9 with 2 touchdown passes. Here's Kyle Shanahan on San Francisco's quarterback situation.
You going to make an announcement. Is Jimmy Garoppolo your starter week one?
No, I'm not making that announcement. Let's try it, though. Whenever I feel like it.
Not tonight.
Will you name your week one starter?
When? It's hard for me to give a date when it's based off of when we know and we feel like naming it. So whenever that happens, but I promise it'll be by that Sunday.
Oh, so he's going to announce it? By the Sunday of the regular season.
He said he promised.
Wow.
By the way, hear these coaches vacillating? Every one of them is vacillating a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but Adam, you just laid out some of these quarterback competition situations, especially with these young guys, are really complicated right now. So the vacillation makes sense. I almost said Vaseline. Dan, should Kyle Shanahan start Trey Lance week one?
Yes, but I did not feel that way in the first quarter of last night's game. I was getting frustrated watching him double clutch and miss high throws, but then he got hot in the second quarter. And then he settled in. I'm going, this is the guy that looks like he's ready to go. Yeah, he's getting it. The guy who only threw 318 passes in college is getting it. And I also think the reality, we talked about this, is we've seen like 5% of what this offense is going to look like. They're not doing any quarterback run, and they're not doing any zone read.
Yeah.
So it's going to be easier on the run game and in the pass game.
I was going to say, if you think Kyle Shanahan was being opaque about the starter, he is being opaque about the playbook.
We are using words I don't know what they mean.
Do you remember when the Washington football team drafted RG3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator with his father, Mike Shanahan.
Yep.
And they went into New Orleans in week one on the road in one of the toughest venues you could play and ran something, unveiled something that no one had seen, and RG3 went nuts that day.
Honestly, that year, 2012, that was just read option. Do you know the space age run game Kyle Shanahan has probably been working on this offseason. We are not seeing any of it, and it changes everything for this offense. Not only does it add an element to Trey Lance's run game and the rest of the run game, it makes the whole entire passing attack easy for him because he's going to be throwing to wide open dudes in the middle of the field. I'm losing my breath. I'm getting so excited.
Because he can simplify for the quarterback as well as anybody out there, right?
Linebacker's going to be in conflict the entire game.
And it's not only, like, the RG3 is a good comp, but he's RG3 plus. Like, he's going to be RG3 plus Cam Newton. RG3 so it's not even going to be, like, just the athletic, but it's the power run game, too.
Stream that on ESPN Plus.
That's why they went that direction, because only Trey Lance could do certain things that other quarterbacks can't, right? And people have been copying his offense for a while.
And
they're not
going
to be able
lows.
To copy the offense with Trey Lance.
And there's going to be lows with Trey Lance.
You don't have another Trey Lance, but you're right.
There's
going to
be lows.
You accept the lows to
but
take the highs.
I got lows with Jimmy G, too.
Yeah. I saw Jimmy G throw the same interception
same
across.
One.
So
ball,
if I'm going to get the lows with Jimmy G, give me the highs that he can't give me. That Trey Lance has the potential to.
The one thing I would say, though, it's a really tough division, and you're accepting some extreme lows that could lose you games in a tough division. You think they're okay with that?
Every defensive coordinator wants to play Jimmy G.
That's a great point.
I guarantee you, every defensive coordinator wants Jimmy G and not Trey Lance.
Many of the same issues that we talked about in Chicago, just take them and apply them to San Francisco. It's the same storylines.
All right, remember, Monday Night Football tonight right here on ESPN, and we'll see you tomorrow for NFL Live. Woo! Go get them, boys.